Let's open up our Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 6. And reading the second half of the chapter, beginning at verse 19. Matthew 6, 19, reading through to verse 34. This is God's inspired word. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Thus far we read from God's holy inspired word. May he bless the reading of his word. It's in connection with Lord's Day 50. Lord's Day 50 that we read that passage. Lord's Day 50 where we find the biblical reformed exposition of the fourth petition of the model prayer. And that one question and answer. Which is the fourth petition? Answer: give us this day our daily bread. That is, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body, that we may thereby acknowledge thee to be the only fountain of all good, and that neither our care nor industry, nor even thy gifts can profit us without thy blessing, and therefore that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it alone in thee. Beloved congregation, it is prayer day today for most of our churches. And the occasion for prayer day is that of our Reformed fathers, many of whom were farmers, recognizing their need for God to bless the planting season the growing and planting season right from the very beginning. Now today, of course, many of us in the Protestant Reformed churches are not farmers anymore. The vast majority of us get all our food from the grocery stores. And so, the occasion for prayer day and prayer day itself seems somewhat remote and distant from us. But whether or not we are conscious of it, that same heartfelt need of our Reformed fathers remains. And the need also to come before God, to seek Him for our daily needs and His blessing also remains. How fitting then for us it is to consider this fourth petition of the model prayer that our Lord Jesus Christ taught us to pray. So I call your attention this evening to the petition for bread. Notice with me its meaning, its confession, and finally its blessedness. The petition for bread that Jesus taught us, and our children know this very well too, as you are surely taught by your parents, give us this day our daily bread. Bread. This is a petition for bread, not for anything else. It is not a petition for a meal at a Belly's. It is not a petition for a meal at Kazupi's, Chick-fil-A, Five Guys, Chipotle, not even McDonald's, or for your favorite fried chicken or Hunan restaurant for that matter. Nor is it for your most sumptuous meals prepared at home, the fancier ones, of course, I mean. It is for none of these things, which, beloved, are all indications of the fact that we live in a world of plenty. That is, we live in a world of great, great abundance and wealth. And we have to realize that there are great dangers that we, the children of God, find ourselves in when we live in such an environment and world. What great danger especially do I have in mind? This, that we cultivate bad, bad, bad attitudes that are most harmful for the life of faith. What bad attitudes? Several. Number one, entitlement, meaning that we start to think and believe that enjoyment of all these things, these abundant things that's before us, is our right. Not our privilege, but our right. We live in this environment, and it's our right to partake in every one of these things. So entitlement. Number two, the bad attitude of worldliness. We are influenced by the environment and the world around us that we live in much more than we are by the Word of God. God's Word says bread, but the whole world around us, everywhere we set our eyes on, says to us everything but bread. Entitlement, worldliness. Number three, greed. Greed or covetousness. Seeing that there is so much around us and seeing many people partaking of these things, we want them too. We want more, more, and more. And so most directly then, it makes us forget that right here in this petition, Jesus instructs us in this petition to pray for bread. Just that. Bread. Now, to be sure, when I say that, let's understand that it's not merely literal bread, as in the loaf of bread, children, you find on the dining table or in the kitchen. Not just that kind of bread, but all and everything of our earthly needs. And that's because bread here is a symbol, just that, a symbol of what our earthly bodies need for life here on this earth. So, it's not just literal bread, but basic food and nutrition for the body, sustenance, earthly sustenance for the body to live and to serve Him effectively while we are here on earth. And so, we don't just need carbs, we also need protein, we need vitamins, all sorts of vitamins, we need phytonutrients, we need healthy fats, and so we need basic food, nothing fancy, but basic food that supplies all these nutrients for our basic needs. And still we need more. Our body has other needs too. There's need for basic health care. And we're reminded by the surgeries that have been performed by on some of our brethren lately. We need health care. And more than that too, as we find in the Word of God in 1 Timothy 6, verses 6 through 8, which reads, "But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out." And then verse 8 now, "And having food and," not just food, "food and raiment," literally coverings. "Food and coverings, let us therewith be content." That word raiment, to be sure, is also found throughout that passage we read from Matthew 6. Literally, it's coverings. Coverings for what? Coverings for our bodies. Clothes. We need clothes. What other coverings? We need shelter. We need a roof over our heads, four walls to protect us from the elements, the inclement weather. We need all of that to keep us warm. All these basic bodily needs is what Jesus has in mind when He told us here in this fourth petition to pray for bread. "Give us this day our daily bread." So notice now the words, this day which is today, that is, the day in which this petition is being prayed. And that right away implies that we are to be praying this petition every day, daily as well. So those are the words, this day. And with regard to every day and daily, our needs are not the same. Our needs change. What is suitable for us today, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20, 30 years ago, when we were single, when we were married without kids, married with one child, two young children, three teenagers, all of that, you see, is all different. The point here is that the word daily in the petition does not mean day to day. That thought is well covered by those words, this day. Rather, daily means this: suited unto the day. And here again, let's be mindful that it is God and not us who determines and gives us exactly what we need for the day. And so very often, in the case of our brothers and sisters in India and Myanmar, suited for the day could just mean some insects and could sometimes mean absolutely nothing at all. And so, beloved, there is nothing quite like going on a foreign mission trip to awaken us to the realities of the lives of believers, our brothers and sisters in Christ in other lands, whom we are to remember also in this petition. Notice what Jesus teaches us to pray. Give us this day our daily bread. Not me and my. Jesus doesn't want us to be self-focused and focused on self. Not me and my, but us and our. Meaning we pray not only for our personal needs, but also for our family, our church family, our denomination, and yes, also other believers. And yes, that includes those believers, those brothers and sisters in Christ in foreign lands who have much, much, much less than we do. So, give us this day our daily bread means that Jesus is teaching us to pray for our basic bodily needs, all our needs, suited for us and our brethren, for the earthly circumstances we face today. We are to do that today, every day, daily. Are we doing that? For let's understand, in so doing, we are making a statement, a confession. What are we confessing when we are doing that faithfully every day from our hearts unto God? Four things this evening, four things we are confessing. First of all, by this prayer, with full understanding of mind and believing heart, we are confessing total dependence on God. That very first word of the petition suggests that right away. Give, says Jesus. Say, give to your Heavenly Father. Now understand here that the tone here is not of a demand or a command. Jesus here is not instructing us to be like pampered, spoiled children, demanding and commanding our Heavenly Father, give. That's not the tone. Not give, but rather the tone here is that of a pleading, imploring, petitioning, a humble beggar asking his God, asking his Father, asking because he has nothing and asking because he has everything, asking him to provide for our basic earthly needs to be met. Every day, day by day, and suited for each day's circumstances. And yes, I say this is a total dependence upon him. And that becomes plain when we reflect more deeply on what we are asking for when we are asking for bread. Now, I said moments ago that bread refers to all our earthly needs, all the needs that we have for our body. But let's for a moment just zero in on the bread, that loaf of bread that's on the dining table or in the kitchen. What all is involved if we were just to ask for that loaf of bread, children, that's on your dining table at home tonight? What's all involved? What are we asking for from the Lord when we ask for that loaf of bread? We truly are asking for a lot. For to begin with, we need to have seeds for the grain that's needed. We need to have enough crop farmers who are in good health and have good ability and even the means to go out there to do the work of planting. And then after planting, we need good weather, good irrigation, good sunshine, good weather, good conditions. And then we need the ability to go out and harvest. And then we need the grain to be stored properly. And then transported properly from place to place to place till finally it gets to the bread manufacturing facility. Let's call it the bakery. And there from the bakery, we need there to be proper processing, proper packaging, proper storage, proper transportation, all the way to that grocery store in your neighborhood. And then, children, we need your father to have a job to provide money to your mother to drive to the store to pick up that loaf of bread and then finally to bring it home. That's quite a lot to ask for just from that literal loaf of bread alone. And now broaden that out to all the other items that's needed for our basic bodily needs. Clothing, shelter, health care, all that goes into health care, the doctors, the physician assistants, the surgeons, the nurses, the pharmacists, the medication that's needed. So you see, the thoughtful, contemplative Christian praying this petition is confessing a total dependence upon God. Nor is that all. For second, we are here also confessing our need for blessing from Him. Our catechism instructors are spot on here in their instruction. Notice that neither our care, nor industry, nor even thy gifts, not even that, thy gifts can profit us without thy blessing. And so that means that when we have earthly things in our hands, these things in and of themselves do not carry God's blessings. Blessings are not automatically found in things. That's the error of common grace, and that was what I pointed out in a sermon on Sunday morning. Beloved, we need Him to accompany those things that we have with His blessings in order for us to truly profit from them. We need His blessings. We need His blessings just as the psalmist implied when he starts out Psalm 127 by saying, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain." And so, children, that's one reason why your parents teach you to pray before you eat. You and I need the Lord's blessing to accompany the food which we are about to partake of. We need God's blessing, in fact, in all that we do. Not just the important things, but also the more ordinary things, the so-so things, the seemingly less important things, such as eating. And we confess our need for His blessing when we pray this petition for bread. But also third, we are confessing that He is the only fountain of all good. And that means that neither we nor our employer who treats us well, nor anyone else is our fountain of all good. Not even them plus God, but God alone. God alone is the fountain of all good. That's why we come before Him and pray to Him alone, with our head bowed down, with our spiritual eyes gazing towards heaven in His direction to Him. He alone is the fountain of all good. And then fourth and last but not least, by praying this prayer with understanding, mind and heart, we are confessing that we trust in Him alone. Jesus' instruction to us is to direct our trust and prayer, our trustful prayer, to Him and to Him alone. The only possibility of living in heartfelt obedience to what Jesus wants us to live and to pray is the grace that flows forth from His cross. Praying this petition then faithfully by the power of His grace, we enjoy its blessedness. And tonight, a threefold blessedness in conclusion. Number one, we enjoy blessing from Him, our Almighty God and faithful Father, even as we experience and enjoy our earthly needs being faithfully met by Him. They come to us with His blessing. That's first. Number two, we enjoy freedom from bad attitudes mentioned earlier. Freedom from entitlement, freedom from the attitude of worldliness, freedom from the attitude of greed, forgetfulness about what we are supposed to pray for, but also this, which is emphasized through and through in the passage that we read by Jesus, we rid ourselves from worry and anxiety. Notice Matthew 6, verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, says Jesus, take no thought. In other words, do not worry. Take no thought for your life what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Verse 28, why take ye thought for raiment? Verse 31, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? And to conclude that very chapter and passage, verse 34, take therefore no thought. Do not worry for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things thereof itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Every one of us is prone to worry and anxiety, especially in the midst of tough economic times that we are living in at this time. Hyperinflation. Well, turning our eyes heavenward to Jesus, praying this prayer with our whole heart and single-mindedness, we affirm our trust in Jehovah alone, that He will supply all our needs. He will. And that gives us peace and drives away all worry and anxiety. And so last but not least, number three, we enjoy the full-orbed blessedness of living in a wholehearted trust in Jehovah alone, which is this: spiritual mindedness, a right and healthy focus in our whole life, including the right priorities and right emphasis in every area of life. Just as Jesus puts it right at the end of Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things," all these earthly things that we have need of, "all these things shall be added unto you." Amen. Father in heaven, bless this word and cause it to live more and more in our minds and hearts. Use it, Lord, to strengthen our faith and to grow our prayer life, and cause us to put our trust more and more in Thee for all our needs. Hear us, and hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen.